reach the island. Welcome to the show. My name's Dave, a.k.a. Summertime Lovin', Lovin' in the Summer Dave, and this is a Fistful Podcast from FistfulPodcast.com. Back for another great week. Let me introduce you, as usual, to my co-host all the way from the Reno Sparks area, and first we have one Mr. Andrew Bergevin.
David, I spent a couple hours this week making my lawn chicken-proof.
Okay, hold on. I wish I had more clues. Chicken-proof.
It's impeccable.
Damn it! I suppose that would work for any birds.
Yeah, but, you know, chickens. Chickens are funny. Chickens are great.
Yes. And I suppose if you said woodpecker, it would be...
Yeah, I spent the week making my lawn woodpecker-proof.
Well, your house could be woodpecker-proof.
I suppose it... Well, one, and we don't have a lot of woodpeckers here in Nevada.
Right. Well... You know, just like we go out all across the world, so there's probably somebody out there with a woodpecker problem, and now they'll know what to do. Make it impeccable.
Yeah, shoot the woodpecker.
So we're running a pretty sparse skeleton crew here today. No Adam, he's off gallivanting in Utah doing God knows what.
Well, in Utah, there's a couple things to do. You could go to church.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he's doing that?
Wait, no, that's the only thing to do.
Oh, so he's going to church.
Yeah, I assume the entire week he's there, he's just going to church.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. The only other person we got is Krista here in studio.
It's like a fun fact.
No Trung, no Adam, no. This is like original FFOP right here.
OG. Well, Trung's not going to be back for...
Trung's never coming back.
Trung's never coming back.
So there's that. But
break. You'll see him slowly turn into a man on his Facebook.
Oh, well, I don't know. We saw him from age 15 to 18, and there wasn't a lot of changes happening. I watched that kid. You can't even say grow up, because he stayed the same height. So
and weight and yeah, everything.
He went from having no mustache to a terrible 12-year-old mustache.
Ooh, fun.
Not a lot of milestones for watching an Asian boy grow up.
Yeah, see, and for some odd reason, like, every time you're like, yeah, Trung graduated, like, college, I was like, what? He's, like, 13, right?
Right.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so Adam is in Utah doing God knows what. Church, obviously.
Church,
I don't know
what else
they...
can you do in Utah? You can visit the flats?
Well, so he just... Because he sent me the text last week. He's like, hey, I'm not going to be here. And I said, okay, that's... You know, at least you told me, so thanks for that.
Well, yeah, at this point, this is, any time, like, Adam will come over on, like, a Thursday or a Wednesday, or it'll be we'll have a game on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And during that, I'll be like, so did you tell David you're not going to be there on Saturday? He's like, I'll do it later. And then Saturday rolls around, and I'm like, so David, did you know Adam's not going to be here? He goes, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's usually an hour or two before we're set to roll, and Adam will text me and be like, hey, spoiler alert, I'm in Colorado.
And I tell you, every time I see Adam, I'm like, so when are you coming over on Saturday? It's like, early, we're doing it early. And then 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, yeah. I'm texting him like, what is early to you?
This is a little behind the scenes for all you hardcore fans out there, because mm-hmm. every Saturday it goes like this. I wake up at around 7. We record on Saturday, by the way. B-dubs. I wake up like 7, get the house clean. Andy texts me at about 10. He's like, yeah, we're going to go early. My prediction, he says, is between 11 and 12.
That's all because Adam always tells me, man, I'm getting up so early.
And
I'm
then 2:30 rolls around and...
Yeah, and then 3:30 rolls around and we finally roll.
Well, and it's all and he shows up and I give him a look and he always goes, shut up. I didn't know I had to do all this stuff. Except that like the last 2 weeks when he's like, okay, I just have to go get my girlfriend and we'll head over. And then I'm like, okay, it's been an hour. He's like, well, she had to take a shower. She wasn't ready. And he goes, now we have to go get something to eat. David, there's one Chick-fil-A in town and it got here a month ago.
Uh-huh.
Both times they've rolled up with a Chick-fil-A bag. And I can tell you that the Chick-fil-A line for the drive-thru goes out into the street.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a single, and they roll up with this Chick-fil-A and I'm like, oh, so you've decided to waste your time and mine.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the great things about Adam is he doesn't give a rat's ass about almost anything.
It's true.
And I appreciate the attitude that he's a classic millennial. Since he's not here, I can say that. Classic millennial Adam J. Hubbard Esquire. And he'll never hear this because he doesn't listen.
Millennials are killing podcasts.
Yeah, he's killing this one for sure.
this is really, and every time he's just, I can't, and I get, I always give him a look like, so.
Yeah, well, that's
no
the
communication
thing,
then, huh?
Yeah, you seem to hang around people who are, and I've never seen this before, but almost disinterested in life.
Well, and like, we had game night at Larson's parents, because Larson's watching his parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be doing that this week,
Utah?
But he also has gone off to Utah.
Yeah,
so who knows who the fuck is watching that house?
So then there's two houses that are
Everyone you know has abandoned you, Andy.
Oh.
But we go to his parents' house for game, and he goes, "I'm going to order pizza." Immediately, this sets off alarms in my head.
So
because yeah, every time Larson has said that, either the pizza is non-existent or it's
right.
Fucked up.
Right. I remember the stories.
Like the time where he was like, "I need you guys to come help me move from one apartment to an apartment across the complex that has an extra room."
Uh-huh.
Okay. It ended up just being me and Adam doing moving. Everybody else got heat strokey and tired.
Well, surprise, surprise.
I walked up 57 flights of stairs that day, according to my Fitbit.
Whoa!
Wow. And didn't get pizza?
Well, and I'm like, okay, I'm super tired. He promised us beer and pizza. We had warm diet Pepsi and one of those boxes of Taco Bell burritos.
Mm. Oh, God, are you fucking kidding me? I would have wrung his neck.
Well, immediately, like, he showed up with those, and I tried one, and, like, they went to a Taco Bell that apparently decided that they were going to put things in blobs, so there was, like, a blob of cheese and a blob of beans, and then a blob of onions.
Oh, God.
And I took a bite out of that and said, "Whoop, I'm going home."
Seriously. Okay, speaking of burritos, this is a first world problem, but you guys have Chipotle in Reno, obviously, right?
Yeah, we do.
And this goes anywhere. Qdoba, any of those, like, where you walk in, they'll make a burrito in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It is, impossible to get them to fold it in such a way that you get a little bit of everything in each bite.
Right.
Yep.
It always goes, like, first bite, tortillas and lettuce, and this is water dripping down my face. Then I'll get a big-ass bite of cheese, and then, like, I used to look at the assholes who were like, "Oh, can you mix it for me?" And then they'd have to use an extra tortilla to sort of, like, mulch it all together.
Yeah.
I was like, "Fuck you, dude. Get the fuck out of here. I want to get my food." But I'm so tempted to try that because I'm tired of just eating like a third of a lettuce burrito, a third of a cheese burrito, and a third of a meat and bean burrito.
And here's the thing. There's a place. Do you have Costa Vita?
No.
Because every other burrito place I go to, they usually make things in blobs. Like I said, they're like blob, blob, blob.
Right.
Costa Vita layers it. So when they roll it up, you might get a bite that has, like, one ingredient, but the next bite's going to have two or three.
Yeah, and you'd think, like, Chipotle is the perfect place for, like, rich, stuck-up assholes to work. Or not work, but eat. Both, maybe. But like, when they introduced, like, fax us your order, and we'll make it in front of all these people who took time out of their day to show up and fucking, like, you know, people on limited lunch hours. We'll put them on hold just for you, the asshole who faxed us an order.
Yeah.
Ugh, I fucking, like, their food's great. Don't get me wrong. It's the only place you can feel good about eating 1,800 calories and then, like, be like, "I'm healthy" afterwards.
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, man, I just had a bunch of vegetables." It's like, yeah, but you also had a 3-pound steak burrito.
Yeah, even on their menu, because I was like, I wonder how many calories are actually in these motherfuckers. If you get a vegetarian one, 800 calories. If you get it with any kind of meat, you're looking at, like, 13 to 1,400 calories.
So you just ate more than half your day's worth if you're on a 2,000-calorie diet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. Like, fucking step it up, Chipotle. If you're going to be, like, a restaurant that almost exclusively caters to assholes who are super picky, like, at least make it good for the rest of us.
Oh, man. And you ever go into a Chipotle and there's always the guy trying to, like, grift the system? Like, they put, "Oh, I'd like this steak burrito. Oh, could you put it just a little more? Just a little more?"
Just a little, yeah.
He keeps on saying that, and by the time they get there, it takes two tortillas to make his burrito.
I fucking hate I think Chipotle customers are the worst fast food customers on the planet.
Well, there's always Arby's.
Well, here's the thing. Every time I go to a Chipotle, I'm always behind someone who is experiencing this for the first time.
Yeah. Which
is
crazy. And they're always so confused.
Listen, what? There's four fucking things on the menu, asswipe. Pick one, and then they'll ask you questions the rest of the way. Fuck. I literally 3 days ago, I met Chipotle on my lunch break. This trio of fat broads walk in, and they are just blown away by how amazing the inside of the Chipotle
There's
is.
So many choices.
What should I get?
Such and they're all staring at,
like, they have both of their hands on the sides of their face, like they're Kevin McAllister. Like, what should I do?
What's cilantro?
Oh, you have two types of rice? I didn't expect this. Like, oh, fuck you, assholes.
Speaking of tubs of lard, this is also off subject. We went grocery shopping for the first time in a long time at Walmart yesterday.
Oh, God. I have not been there in like 4 years. Life's never been better.
And, well, we saved like $50, but the thing is, we're standing in line, and I notice her immediately. This lady gets in line behind us. She sounds like Louis Anderson.
Okay.
And she's talking to another... it's either her very tall and fat son or her very young husband.
So, was she telling jokes? That's how...
No, she was tonguing like this. And I at first I hear the voice, because fidget spinners. They don't allow those in schools anymore because they're making kids retarded.
They're making kids retarded?
Words out of her mouth. I turn around, David, and it looks like John Leguizamo has escaped from the set of Spawn.
No way.
She looked like the scariest Harlequin in existence. Eye makeup, she has rouge just like and the funniest thing is like I immediately looked away. I didn't want to be caught staring at this lady, because you know she's kind of like, what are you looking at?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My wife doesn't notice her until like she starts talking really loudly about, oh, we're in the wrong line for cigarettes. My wife turns around and gives a startled jump. The lady scared my wife.
She's obviously never seen Spawn then.
No, I mean...
God.
It was the best, and the guy's like, yeah, but look what I can do with this fidget spinner. He's like, and he hits his thumb. He's like, ow, and he dropped it.
Ah!
Not to mention, David,
my gosh.
He had grabbed it, taken it out of the package.
What?
What?
Spun it around, and then stuck the packaging and the fidget spinner just in the candy.
I fucking hate
people?
Walmart shoppers. I would take 1 billion Chipotle customers who've never even heard of Chipotle for the rest of my life, then deal with a single Walmart shopper for 10 minutes.
It was the worst. And I'm trying to, well, like we were looking at the DVDs because, you know, you're in Walmart. You may as well do the whole experience.
Yeah. You might as well live it up.
And there's a lady that keeps on like kind of shoving my cart to the side so she can get into the $7 Blu-ray bin and find that perfect copy of, I don't know, like Grandma's Boy.
Oh, oh, look, the original Ninja Turtles on Blu-ray for $5.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's the thing. With big box stores, you're going to have a decent amount of like livestock humans. But at Target, it's more like a Luby's cafeteria where there is some semblance. People adhere to some sort of rule. At Walmart, it's like slop in a barnyard for the pigs.
I'm really hoping what you said is true, David.
Which part?
The Target.
Oh, yeah. Do it. Do it. Target because, completely
because worth it. I just got hired on as a cashier for Target.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God. After seeing how drained the cashiers at Walmart were, I'm just hoping.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Walmart and Target are two completely different worlds. And I had this conversation millions of times with people who are like, I don't like to shop at Target. It's either too far or it's a little more expensive. And I said, you know, your time and quality of life is worth something.
Yeah, like, seriously.
Your life is not a worthless... People think, oh, you know, I'm not saving anything. You're saving yourself time and energy and disgust. And like, you know, my gag reflex hasn't been triggered in God knows how long because I haven't set foot at a Walmart yet.
Yeah. And it's been years since I've cashiered properly, but it can't be that hard, right? You just shake your head up and down and be like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you run the thing across the scanner. You say, oh, how are you doing? You find everything okay. And they'll say, oh, blah, 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 blah. And you say, doot, $478.
And then you have to say, hey, do you have a Target red card? Do you want one? Yeah. No, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I need a blank check if you want one, because everybody brings around checks.
Yeah, you should be like, hey, remember when all those Target credit cards got leaked? You want one?
Yeah. Well, like, during the interview, they're like, you really have to push these cards. I was like, I worked at GameStop and Barnes & Noble, where you have to push discount cards. I mean.
Well, and I don't understand stores that want to push their own whatever it is. I don't give a fuck whatever it is. Discount card, credit card, whatever. If people wanted, like, if I wanted a Target card, I know exactly where to get one. Fucking Target.
But David, there's so many people that would go that, and I've seen it happen in my line, and it's always when I'm in a hurry.
Of course. They're like,
you go to either Target or like Safeway or something like that, and it's like, do you want a credit card? And they're like, a credit card?
Oh!
What will it get me? Larson did that one time.
Oh, God.
Of course. Of
course. At Target, he's like, I could save 15%?
Once.
Well, he was buying, like, it was when he was moving in here, and he was buying all his sheets and stuff and curtains and all that crap. So he does that, of course, maxes it out.
Right.
Of course. But listen, like, if you want a Target, like, I don't think there's a person on the planet who doesn't know that Target offers a fucking credit card. I could not be less interested in that, and yet I still have to answer that same fucking question every fucking time. And when they ask you for a blank check, why don't they just ask you for, like, the deed to your car or something else you don't carry around? Who fucking carries a checkbook?
Yeah.
Like, unless you corner a 90-year-old and she's like, oh, of course, I never leave home without it because technology is frightening to me.
Yeah, that or you're going in knowing that you're going to get one, even though you can just do it on the computer. But I mean, I wouldn't mind having one of those red cards. It's not a credit card, but
fuck that shit.
But no, the only reason I have a checkbook is so I can look at the routing number when I need direct deposit.
Right.
I have so many books of blank checks. Like, it is ridiculous. I've got a drawer full. Because when you open up an account, you know, they're like, oh, here's your first checkbook, and we'll send you another box in the mail. And the shit that comes in the mail is like 12 books.
I was going, like, I needed to find my tax information to apply for PEFSA the other day. And my wife's filing system was, well, toss it all in one box. But I'm going through that, and I found checks from addresses I haven't had for 6 years.
Oh, yeah. Like,
no, it's longer than that. I moved in here 11 years ago. So,
yeah, that's pretty old. Yeah, I can't. I remember when I was a kid, you'd get those little inserts in the mail. It's like, oh, what kind of I remember being so excited to get a personalized checkbook that had Garfield or Marvel characters or whatever on it. Now, like, that is so obsolete. It's almost like wanting a new leather trunk for your Model A. It's something that no one gives a fuck about anymore, and it's so crazy that we saw it go obsolete, like, in the flash, like, in the blink of an eye.
And I fucking hate, any time I was a cashier, I hated when an old woman would come up and be like, oh, I know exactly what you're doing. And she'd whip out a checkbook, and then 30 minutes later, she'd be done writing it.
Yeah,
haven't seen a check in, 20 years, so I have to look up the protocols for running this through.
I love how now there are lots of things on a check that you can fill out before you know the total.
That's what my mom does. She used to fill out, like, where we were going before we even went to the store. She'd be like, Walmart.
As, like, they're ringing you up, you could put in Target, your name, today's date, all the stuff you don't really need to wait for. Mm-hmm. So why people wait and they'll look to the cashier will be like, okay, that'll be $312.86. And that's when they, like, lick their finger and start leafing through the checkbook.
Yeah.
Fuck. I feel like people like that, there should be a button on the cash register that is hooked up to a mechanism that where, like, there's a spring-loaded door that shoots the person into the rafters, and then they're just lost in the ceiling for the rest of their lives.
You look up there, and it's skeletons holding checkbooks.
Yeah, but then there's a bunch of stuff at your register that you have to put back.
That's when you get on the phone, and you're like, I got a 17 Govex on the register, please. Fuck.
Interview, I go in, and I haven't had an actual interview in years and years. Like, I think I interviewed when I first went to work for my wife's mom.
Uh-huh.
Like, and she interviewed 16 years ago.
Oh.
I think I was 22, so like 11 years ago.
Okay, and she was like,
for her mother, and that was an actual interview. Then when I lost that job, I worked at GameStop for a while and didn't have to interview. I walked in one day and there was somebody that I had known from working at GameStop before, and they're like, "Hey, you want a job?" I said, "Of course."
Yeah, I think the job I have now I went on an interview for, but before that, I can't imagine how many jobs I've gotten just offered over the phone.
Yeah.
Or can you start? And I'll say, you know, whatever. And then I show up and that's it.
This one, I had two teenage girls run me through the goddamn gauntlet.
Ooh, what'd they ask you?
It's each of them had a separate packet of questions. Mm-hmm.
Did they giggle in between each one?
Sometimes you may face adversity during cashiering. Can you tell us about a time you had to stand up for yourself while working?
Well, I had to shout down this guy in the register once because he was being a real asshole.
Well, and you have to come up with the most bullshit answers on the spot.
Yeah.
And one of the girls, the HR lady came in and was like, "Okay, we're going to offer you a job."
Was she a witch or a frog?
She was. I said, splashed water on her. They had to send another person in.
Oh, you killed our HR lady.
She was holding the packets. And one of the girls had written down, "He's very nervous." You're not wrong.
Oh, I never walk into any interview nervous. I know I'm going to nail it, number one. It's just a matter of, the only time I've never nailed it on an interview is when, like, I get a call afterwards, like, "Oh, you know, we went with so-and-so XYZ, and then I later find out, oh, that's a friend of the person who interviewed me.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, we're trying to fill a position at my work right now, and the amount of interviews have been, like, in the dozens that have been set up. Three people have come in. The rest have been no call, no show, or they bail a half an hour before the interview.
I did bail on... I had an interview that was supposed to take place right after your target for UPS, and I bailed on that.
Yeah, well, that's one thing. But, like, we're getting at work because my boss will be like, "Oh, got an interview at 1 o'clock today." And I'm like, okay. At 12:55, she'll check her email, and it'll be like, "Oh, sorry, I can't make it because, the excuses are always crazy." One's like,
"Oh." And I assume that I got the job based... I do interview well, but I also shave. And I got a haircut, and I dress in khakis.
You show up like you're fucking willing to work.
Right.
I can't tell you. Like, when I was doing interviews back at my last job, which I hated doing, by the way, because everyone who comes in is a fucking idiot. Like, people would show up in, like, cutoffs and, like, spaghetti strap tank tops. And I say, "So why do you want to work in an insurance building?" And they're like, "What?
Insurance?
Thank you.
I thought this was Chipotle."
I want an extra rice. Let me get the fuck out of here.
Well, here's what they don't tell. Like, the lady comes in, she's like, "Oh, okay, you already have khakis. That's good." I was like, "People show up to interviews without khakis?"
Who, number one, who above the age of 15 does not own at least one pair of khaki pants?
Even
if you just pulled them out for family photos or special occasions, you own a fucking pair of khakis.
Yeah.
Well, and because she's like, "Okay, the other two people we hired, they had to go buy khakis. Also, you're gonna have to buy your own red shirts. We don't provide those. Just any red shirt will do. Any shirt that's red with no writing." She's like, "And in the winter, if you want, you can wear polos." I was like, "I'm going to just go buy polos because."
So, what kind of company doesn't offer at least one of their fucking uniform shirts?
Don't know. They don't have a uniform. David, their uniform is khakis and a red shirt.
You should have gone in with a red shirt.
If you want to be confused for an employee at Target, I guess, wear khakis and a red shirt.
You should have gone in with like a plain
red
t-shirt.
A red shirt already on. You're like, "I'm ready to go. Day one."
Let's go.
Well, like there are those like those jackass improv groups who, like, I don't know if this happens anymore because Best Buys are like going the way of the dodo, but they would like wear khakis and like a blue polo shirt and wander around Best Buy and like, you know, help people, because it's not against the rules to dress in a blue shirt and khaki pants in a Best Buy, and it's not against the rules to help people find something, but it is a real pain in the ass if you don't really work there and I'm there trying to find something I need.
How long has it been since you've been in a Best Buy?
Ever since this one closed down about
You had a Best Buy that actually closed?
Yeah. Like, what? they were on their way at, well, this is the third one I've seen close in my area.
Jesus.
We went there to go get something, and the sign was gone.
Yeah.
We're like, oh.
It closed down so fucking fast. I feel like it was there the day before. I'm like, oh, I need a USB extender. So I went to Best Buy. The sign, gone. All the store, like, the signs in the windows, gone. Like, the sign on the back of the building was ripped off. It is now just a big blue building with nothing in it.
See, and we have three here, and every time, I went into one just a few days ago, and they need to cut back their staff probably, because I was one of maybe two customers in there.
Yeah.
And there was five employees for each customer. And every time, like, I'd look up, there'd be a guy next to me going, can I help you?
Yeah, they're desperate, man. But that's the thing. Like, before the internet, Best Buy was the fucking place to go if you wanted any sort of technological doodad.
Or like, they used to have gobs and gobs of movies. The Best Buy in Reno had two full aisles for just anime.
Mm-hmm. Now it's like they carry every season of The Big Bang Theory,
yep.
Everything that makes it to DVD from HBO or Showtime, and that's it.
Coffee makers.
So like, and that's the every time we would go in there, it almost felt to me like a high tech morgue, because it was just like me, and then the rest of everybody was in their 90s and or 80s trying to find some obscure cable to hook their old tube TV to their RCA Victrola or whatever. And that's the thing. Now that the internet exists and Amazon's a thing, Best Buy is like a haven for the elderly.
It is. And oh my God, it's the only time I see more than three customers in any Best Buy is when they're having their elderly classes for phones on like the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It's like that little, like the five rows of chairs, and like there's eight of them full of people. Like the old people who never take their coats off. Indoors, outdoors, it doesn't matter. That coat stays on.
Well, and that's another thing that, like, one of the Target girls was super impressed, because I was like, yeah, I used to explain the crappy Nook from Barnes & Noble so well that they put me in charge of running classes on Saturdays and Sundays for old people. It's like, that's very impressive. In the back of my head, I'm just going, I fucking hated it.
Is that impressive?
I guess if you've never run a class before for old people.
I suppose.
Are you impressed with me that I helped old people, the same old people every week?
I'm not, because it doesn't, like, you know, I guess we take for granted that our generation has quite a handle on technology. So like, I can explain any cell phone to anyone. It doesn't, because they're all the same. It's just a matter of, like, having the advantage of age, or youth, yeah, I should say.
David, I would think that the older people are, the more stuff that they know. It's not like phone. It's not like I sprung out of my mom's uterus holding an iPhone and an Apple laptop. Like, hey,
but that's the thing. So did you saw the little article I posted on the Facebook, right, about the micro generation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So between 77 and 83 is this micro generation that is in the sweet spot of like analog and digital, right in the center there. And that's the thing.
I think we still count, David. I was still very analog when I was born.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an arbitrary line to cut off at 83, because 84 didn't make much of a technological difference.
I still had like a shitty record player and a tape player.
Oh, hell yeah. I remember my parents got a new stereo, and I was bequeathed the old one. And it was 3 feet tall, had side-by-side tape decks, and on the top was a fucking turntable.
Fuck yeah.
But the rub was, the band inside had gotten so, like, warped over the years that when I tried to listen to Kiss's Creatures of the Night, it sounded like it scared me, and I never listened to it again.
Oh, God, it is devil music.
Yeah, I had... That's the thing kids won't know nowadays, is, like, analog shit going wrong and scaring you.
Or, yeah, seriously, Or remember, David, you'd pop in your VHS of the Ninja Turtles movie, and that Pizza Hut commercial would start playing, and it
fuck
would be
yeah.
like the frames would be halfway up and halfway down. You'd have to go adjust the tracking.
Yeah, tracking. Kids don't know what tracking is. So here, like, no kid that born now will, like, if you click on an MP3, it will play or it won't. In the day, since the belt that ran that turntable was warped, it would go, Rachel! And I'm like, ah! So I got scared off of that album from a record player, and then later I got scared off of No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom when the batteries died in my Walkman.
So seriously, you know, or Remember the no skip Discman?
Oh God, yeah, I do.
It has buffering, except all that means is that 5 minutes from now it's going to skip.
Well, so taking the No Doubt Tragic Kingdom album, right, with all the horns and stuff.
Yeah,
it's very upbeat. It's kind of like in ska roots or whatever. Like, but now if you slow that down about 20%, like let's say if your batteries are going dead in a Walkman. It plays this funeral dirge that sounds like a bunch of dying animals being pushed out to sea on a flaming raft. And they know they're dying, but they still don't want to be burned alive. And so I was listening to this, and I was like, ah! So I hit stop, and I was like, oh, what's going on with this? So I you know, sometimes when the old battery operated shit, if you leave it off for a second, turn it back on, it'll sort of reinvigorate the juice.
Yeah.
So I did that. I'm like, ugh. So I turned it back on. It would start out normally. And then to hear Gwen Stefani singing in like a Bela Lugosi octave. Holy shit. It was broad daylight outside. I was scared shitless. Pulled my headphones off. Never touched it again.
Threw the Walkman on the ground and ran.
Yeah, I stepped on it. But yeah, I remember the first portable CD player I had 10 seconds of skip protection.
Yeah.
And you'd see it had a little bar graph on the side, and the bars would fill up the more protection they got. And sometimes I'd hold it and I'd shake it and some of the bars would disappear. And if you put it back down, they would fill back up slowly.
And here, David, if I wanted to make a mix right now, I could just go on Amazon Music or Spotify and be like, this song, this song, this song, this song, this song. Back in the day when I was like, I'm going to say 11 to 12 years old, I spent an entire day calling in songs to a radio station, and they'd be like, here's a song from Andy. Quickly hit record on a tape.
That is hilarious.
Stop when it's over, because I don't want any of the DJ in there.
Right, right. I remember I was sitting by the radio, and I called up a radio station. And I'm like, hey, thanks for calling. I think it was 104.7, Kiss It, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, hey, man, can you play, it was a Will Smith song.
I think it was Miami.
Either Miami or Getting Jiggy With It. And he's like, all right, I'll see what I can do. Click. And I waited by the radio for the rest of the day. It never happened.
You did not get jiggy with it that day.
I was so depressed. Yeah, and I remember, I was so stupid. This must have been like 1992 or 3. I was getting ready for bed, and I'm like, I want to record, you know, because I want to get some of these songs on you know, recording so I can listen to whatever I want. So I stuck a tape in the stereo, hit record on my favorite radio station, and went to bed, woke up, and I had like 90 minutes of just like middle of the night DJ. I'm like, all right, that was Hootie and the Blowfish. Coming up next, we've got, you hear like shuffling.
Yeah.
He's like, Prince with Party Like It's 1999. Click. Fucking. Yeah. Or even if you weren't using tapes, like if I had a CD that somebody wanted a copy of, I'd say, give me a tape, and you'd hit record, and you'd have to do it in real time and listen to the whole fucking album. And it always happened. The tape would run out in the middle of a fucking song.
Yep.
So you have to turn over, start on that song. And since you never knew when the tape was going to end, you'd be listening to it or whatever, and you get halfway through the song, you go, click. You go, fuck.
God damn it.
Or trying to arrange songs for a CD to get as much on there as you can.
Yep. You're like, okay, this says it holds 80 minutes of music, but that's if you want really shitty quality.
Yeah.
So I can fit maybe 8 songs on here. What do I want to listen to in my car?
Yeah, it was a real... We had some hard decisions to make as kids, because Sean, he was the first one to get a CD burner. So we go over there, you know, fire up Napster. 6 hours later, we'd have a song.
And maybe. You might have a song. You'd be like, okay, I want this song. And you might... You're like, okay, cool, let's listen to it right now. And you double-click on it and have, like, the first 5 seconds of the song, and they'll be like...
Yeah, or my favorite thing people would do is, like, try and slip their music into other people's shit by calling it Metallica or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Or, like, I remember we were trying to find clean versions of all of, like, the Parappa the Rappa and Jammer Lammy songs.
Yeah, that was awfully hard.
Yeah, because it was always just someone holding a cassette deck up to the fucking speaker, so you heard all the button presses and shit. It was, we lived like animals back in the 90s and the early 2000s, guys.
Yeah, it was awful, David. Do you remember, terrible. Did you ever play the Worms games?
Yes.
You could make your own soundboards for like your Worms. Sean and Adam and I spent an entire night one night with my CD player and like comedy albums from like Bill Cosby and Bill Engvall.
No way.
Oh my God.
Sitting right next to it with one of those shitty like stick microphones.
Yes.
making a soundboard. And we were like, okay, we're going to put this on the internet. And it's going to be downloaded a billion times. I think we put it on like the Worms website and it got downloaded maybe 15 times. And they're like, hey, good soundboard. Bye.
Yeah. That's so great. We had to do, because like when technology was there, like it was starting, but it wasn't where it is today, where you can just be like, oh, I want this. And it's just like the click of a mouse away. We had to go and like, it was like being a pioneer. You had to harvest sounds and songs for like yourself.
Yeah, you couldn't, and video just, games didn't have extra levels.
True.
Like just the other day, we all bought Left 4 Dead 2. And I said, you know what, Adam, you and I have already played all these campaigns. Let's just get a new level. And yeah. Adam and I did. We downloaded a new level and just played it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's so easy to get shit nowadays. I almost pine for the old days of like having to search for your own shit, because it made you feel kind of like a hunter gatherer type caveman.
Yeah, or man, back in, before you could check a store's stock before you went.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive down. You're like 16. You're like, oh my God, I'm gonna get this brand new video. Okay, it's the video game's gone. Okay, there's three other stores we could check. Let's drive.
Yeah, my parents, I would always go to my parents, mom or dad, didn't matter who, and I'd say, can you take me to X store? I want to get blank. And they'd say, are you sure they have it? Because I don't want to drive all the way out. Like, I'm not going to more than one store, they would say. So, check. So, the phone book was my fucking internet. I would call stores all over. I would bring the phone book to my mother or father, and I would say, is this one? Because it would have the address on there. I'd say, is this close enough to get to? And they'd say, 44th and Van Buren? Ugh, no way. And I'd say, ugh, okay, back to the drawing board. And my finger would go down all those yellow pages looking like an address that was acceptable for the store I wanted to go to. And I would call them. And, you know, I can't imagine now, because that must have been happening all the time. Some employee must be constantly picking up the phone to hear an 8-year-old on the other line saying, hey, do you have a copy of Pokemon Blue? And they say, yeah, I think so. All right, bye, click. Yeah, all that's gone now.
See, I remember when Pokemon Blue actually came out. I was a freshman in high school, went to a GameStop,
mm-hmm.
and the lady in there said, did you pre-order? Because you're not going to be able to find it anywhere if you didn't pre-order. I said, well, I'll just go to Target. Walked 5 feet next door to the Target, picked it, like they had a whole display of them, like, dink.
Yeah, of course they did.
Like, you bitch.
Come on.
And they later made that woman district manager.
Wow. Well, she deserved it.
Yeah.
She handled you completely appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly.
She's like, well, we can't sell this to you. Get out.
David, my job search was getting so desperate that I was considering applying for GameStop again.
Going back to GameStop? Ugh.
Where they'd give me 3 hours a week, but at least I'd be making like $50.
True. Yeah, man. If you don't have a job, it gets pretty frantic.
Well, And I know how many job applications they get at fucking Target, so I feel kind of stoked that they even...
Yeah, like I was saying last week, like I've turned in probably 24 applications to Target, never got a single callback.
Not a single one, ever.
No, not an email, not a rejection letter, no, nothing.
Well, my availability is wide open except for Tuesdays.
Well, yeah, mine was always wide open too. They'd say, when can you work? I'd put any on every fucking day. this guy wants it too much. Let's not hire him.
And they're like, well, we have two jobs available right now. It's cashier, or you could work in the back. Starts at 4 a.m. I said, cashier, cashier.
Those people who work overnights like Keith are insane.
Yeah.
I can't imagine waking up at like 10 p.m., having breakfast and going to work.
That's what turns people into vampires.
Yeah, Keith might be a vampire.
He might be. Have you ever seen him out in the day?
He is a reverse slacks hole vampire.
We have seen him out in the day.
Yeah, but he was wearing a lot of sunscreen and did wear a big black cape.
And yep.
Big black cape.
And he had this weird medallion on like a red ribbon around his neck. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, don't worry about it.
Don't ever worry about it.
I assumed it was a medal he received in the Navy.
Yeah, one of the Navy medals.
Yeah, and he had like the big black widow's peak that almost met his eyebrows. You know, Keith's a pretty weird looking guy. If you ever catch him,
he's always saying bleh.
Yeah, he was like, bleh. Yeah, we met him out in, Quartzsite. And he, you know, we were like, hey, we at the Carl's Jr. And he walked in, like this fog rolled in. There were these weird
bats. Everybody left.
And, yeah. It turns out after we left, I saw on the news later, everyone in the restaurant died from mysterious lack of blood.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, that's interesting.
And David was like, it must have been all those double Westerns.
Yeah, I was like, you know, those are good. They'll suck you dry. Especially,
yeah,
you know,
double Westerns take your blood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of Carl's Jr., I was so pissed off yesterday. Oh, my God. This is maybe not funny and not interesting, but I'm going to say it anyway because it drives me fucking crazy. So the Carl's Jr., the only Carl's Jr. in any close proximity to my house is the shittiest fucking Carl's Jr. in the world. Everything I order there is either wrong or burnt or both. Mm.
Yeah.
So I went there on my lunch break yesterday and I'm like, hey man, double Western, no cheese, because that shit's gross. And I said, throw some pickles on there. They said, great, sure. Maybe it's just this one. Because every time I go in there, they're like, food's up. It slides down that little metal tray. And the woman working the counter, you know, could take or leave it. She's like, man, you know, it's there. So I know I can give that to you whenever. But I've got to go check. Look, there's a piece of ice on the floor. I got to go sweep that into the corner. And I'm like, get my fucking food. So I get it back to work. Fucking more cheese than is normally on there.
Extra cheese, no pickles.
I wrapped that shit up. I told my boss, I said, they fucked this up and I am not taking it anymore. So I went there.
I stormed out. I quit my job.
Yeah, I said, I quit, and I threw the burger in the fucking lady's face, and it splattered all over, and I said, make it again! So now I have, I had a burger full of spit, and now I have no job.
It sucks.
And my wife always, she was always like, why can't you wait until we're home to eat this fast food? I'm like, it's not that I don't want to wait. It's that I order my foods, like, I'm a picky boy. So right. I'm like, but I'm not so picky, I'll just say, hey, ketchup only. Just take everything off, just meat, cheese, bun, we're good. And I can hear the wheels turning in their heads in that drive thru. It's like, tuk, 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 tuk. Nope, it rejected. Thought rejected.
Yeah,
like, so first I'll check the receipt, and that's always the first warning system. Oh, okay, it says ketchup only, and then you see them in there, and they're wandering around bumping into things.
They look like
so
robots.
So I always open
battery.
Up my food in the car to make sure it's right, and since it's open, I may as well eat it. My wife is like, you're really hungry. Like, no, I just want to make sure it's not fucked up.
Yeah, and for a lot of the things, I don't care if they leave them on, because I can pick them off. But shit that either melts and or is liquidy, I will fucking straight up reach through that drive-thru window and hold your head under my rear tire and... fuck.
If they put, like, mustard on it, that's fine. I like mustard.
Mm-hmm.
But the second I give them more than one ingredient I want left on there, it's like, he just wants everything. And if you put pickles on my burger, you can if you pick out the pickles, the whole thing still tastes like pickles.
I disagree. And number one, I don't understand people who don't enjoy a good pickle.
Trunk hates pickles.
He's a fucking weirdo. You're a fucking weirdo. Like, if you, like, let's say you're like, oh, you know, I like pickles, but bread and butter pickles, like, taste like vomit. Then I'd be like, hey, yeah, you're right. Because pickles are, like, great. What's wrong with you?
What's wrong? I don't like eating fucking cukes that have been soaked in vinegar for 30 years.
Cukes.
Cukes. Get those cukes out of here.
I'll tell you what. Give me a fresh cucumber. I'll nosh down on that.
But so you like cucumbers?
They're like, yeah, those are fun. David, they're just water.
And you like mustard?
Yeah.
So mustard is primarily vinegar. So when you take the vinegar from the mustard and add it to the pickle, it's a no-go?
No-go.
Or the cucumber to the cuke?
No go. Or a gherkin. Now,
sweet pickles, that's a whole different monster.
Mm-mm.
But like, are we talking like, cause, okay, let's back up a little bit.
Okay, we're backing it up.
It's easy to hate pickles if you have a parent who doesn't understand quality over quantity. So my mother, when we were young, she'd go and buy the fucking Mount Olive brand pickles, which is essentially horse piss and the cukes that nobody else wanted.
I think she still does.
Still does. And they taste like soggy dog assholes.
Ugh.
But you go to the store, you get yourself a nice Claussen or a Vlasic or any of those other like artisan brands with the pieces of garlic floating in there. Mwah! Perfect!
Okay, David. See, my I feel the reason that I don't like much of this stuff is the way that my mother cooked it. I will never eat corn because my mother was the stereotypical like 1975 mother.
Did she boil it?
Yeah, not only that, but everything was frozen.
Oh, yeah. My mom
she would buy
that.
It in bulk quantities. Everything was frozen. And what she'd do is she'd take the frozen package. She'd take the corn out of there. It'd just be like a square of corn. She'd put it in a dish, slap like a stick of butter on top, and microwave the motherfucker.
That's not how to eat food. My mom used to do that and probably still does. Like whenever there was a sale on bread, fucking load the cart up. It's only 50 cents a loaf. And then she would freeze them all. But you can't freeze a complex carbohydrate because it destroys the molecule, number one, and then you're left eating tasteless, like, fucking hobo cardboard shit.
Yeah. Or like, the second it gets unfrozen, it is, like, even if you toast it, somehow it doesn't hold its shape.
Yeah, and like, because you'd take the bread out of the freezer and you'd set it on the counter to thaw, which shouldn't happen. And so all the ice crystals in there melt and the bread gets all soggy. So that's like a 2-day endeavor just to get a fucking slice of bread.
David, this is exactly how millennials are killing all these industries. Frozen foods being killed.
I understand that like frozen food was like a modern marvel. You can get food.
My God,
to people
my mother's still like, oh my God, the Schwann's man came by and I bought all of his breaded chicken. Like, oh
yeah,
God.
It's no good. Like, that's the thing. I also hated corn because it would always come out of that fucking bird's eye bag, poured into a bowl, or maybe it would go into a pot and my mom would boil it and it was fucking garbage. But if you take a fucking ear of corn, slather it with butter and seasoning, wrap it in foil, throw it on the grill, I can't think of a better food to augment any meal.
Maybe when you finally come down here, I'll get myself a nice corn.
I'll bring myself, because I don't know if I can travel with fruits and vegetables to a different state.
Just tell them you don't have any.
Yeah, I'm like, they don't have corn in Reno, officer. But yeah, so I'll go there. And we'll get some good pickles, some good corn. It'll blow you away because growing up with a mother or parents who did not know how to cook because they grew like their parents grew up in the Depression and you just it was catch as catch can, whatever.
Oh my God. See, I finally learned to like carrots. I like them in things because when you cook them, they become soft. Well, the way my mother cooked them. Is she like caramelized them so they were covered in like sugar?
I can't handle that shit.
Like fucking sugar carrots, and she'd be like, "Why aren't you eating any of this shit?" And I'm like,
it's disgusting.
Why aren't you eating this baked potato that I made you? Because you didn't bake it all the way through, and it's still hard. And
yeah, there's a lot of things. Like, did your mom ever use a pressure cooker on anything?
Yes.
So, for those of you who don't know, a pressure cooker turns fresh, edible, raw meat into gelatinous puddles of shit. And then you can give that to your family.
Well, and my mother would always make stew or roast, but she'd get, like, really fatty meats. So you might be eating through this stew, and you'd get a big chunk of gristle. And my dad would be like, oh, give it to me, and he'd just slurp it down.
Every time I'd come home and I'd see the crock pot on the counter and I could smell the roast in the air, I knew we were in for eating a leather shoe.
Yeah, you'd be eating tasteless shit that made, like, you'd have to turn it into beef jerky by pouring a whole gallon of salt on it.
Yeah, I don't understand. And maybe this, like, the crock pot my mother had sent the meat to an alternate dimension that was just a desert, I don't know. But it would be in like a fucking quart of juice, or like she'd put the thing in there and like just submerge it in juice. When you pulled it out, it was as dry as a fucking bone, and it blew my mind because there was still like a gallon of shit left in the thing sloshing around. Why didn't it go into the meat?
Yeah.
You gotta slice the meat.
Oh, horrible.
Or beans. I learned to start liking beans because you can put beans in a lot of stuff like chili.
Yeah.
But my mother, the way I was served beans was it's baked beans and that's it. And I don't baked beans.
We would get, they're like Tejas style chili beans in the can. And anything that comes out of a can is gross.
Well, I'll get my kidney beans and stuff from a can, but just straight beans. I don't want...
Right. Yeah, that's what Definite, I mean. If it's a regular bean and it's just in some water to make sure they don't go anywhere, great.
If
fine,
it's a
whatever.
Blend of something, it's not good.
Oh, yeah. If they put any seasonings or spices, all the like weird preservatives, it tastes like garbage.
Half my family eats steak with ketchup. Oh, so that's why they voted for Donald Trump.
My grandfather used to eat steak with ketchup.
No. I don't.
I never tried it.
Like, there are so many great things out there, and I feel like if since the internet didn't exist, you were pretty much beholden to Better Homes and Gardens Cookbook, and all the shit in there was so long and complicated to make, nobody did it.
So I fell into a YouTube hole the other day, and I was watching old Julia Child cooking videos.
Mm-hmm.
This 7-foot woman is hunched down to maybe 5 feet tall.
She is crazy.
Welcome to my kitchen. Today we're going to be making the most delicious meats. And every recipe ended, she's like, and now we're going to make a sauce. Let's pour in like a bottle of wine and 3 cups of cream.
He's like,
and then she covered
Cosby.
The food and it just looked gray, surrounded by peas.
Every time, because Julia Child used to be on Channel 8 when I was a kid every once in a while. And she reminded me of a giant ogre who, like, came into human society and is doing her best to assimilate, but really doesn't understand it.
Well, and I was loving it because everything she made ended up looking kind of grayish brown, and then there there might be some vegetables on the side, but everything was covered in either wine or cream.
Well, yeah, because she's a French cook. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I also watched some Jacques Pepin videos, and he didn't cover his shit in as much cream as she did.
Yeah, it depends, because for whatever reason, I'm surprised French people aren't as fat as Americans for the amount of cream and the amount of pastries and shit. Like,
seriously, French pastries, we're still watching that Great British Baking Show, and every time they're like, okay, it's time to make a French pastry, and like, okay, get me my 12 sticks of butter to fold into this 1 cup of flour.
Yeah, it is fucking crazy. But now with the internet, like, you can make anything you want. You can find a recipe for on YouTube and watch it as you're making it.
Well, yeah. So, David, yesterday I wanted to make burgers and to put on curry.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I also have this curry powder. I wonder if that'll go good in the burgers. Man, I looked up curry powder burgers, found 15 different recipes, found one that I had all the ingredients for. Delicious.
Yeah, it's crazy. I, for a different project, I was looking up a recipe for soft-shell turtle soup. And
you're going to kill Ninja Turtles, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to kill the Ninja. Well, that's
not soft-shell.
Yeah, I'm the Shredder. Spoiler alert. I was looking up a soft-shell, and there are so many. You can find umpteen zillion recipes on like, let's say, foodnetwork.com. But if you're one of those do-it-yourself guys, there's 17 million videos of dudes going out, capturing a turtle with their bare hands, processing the carcass from stem to stern, and then it ends with them eating that turtle in a soup.
Now, Dave, but half of those videos, and cooking doesn't have that problem, but I ran into it again the other day, where I'm like, oh man, I got stuck in that video game Prey, which I've given up on because I played it like it was a shooter. It's an RPG. I didn't do any side quests and I can't beat the game. Right. But I got stuck and I was like, okay, I'm going to look up a video on this. And every time, for anything I look up relating to electronics, it's,
all right, everybody calm down. I'm a 12-year-old British what? Boy and now it's time. Yeah. I'm going to explain to you how to stream videos.
it depends on what genre you look for, because I was looking for a video to figure out how to change my text alert on my phone, and every video I looked up was like, oh, hello guys, I'm going to show you today how to change your ringtone on your Droid Moto X. And every video, like bar none, I was like, oh, maybe there's got to be one of a guy that I can understand clear. And yeah. Spoiler alert, no. It was every Indian man in India. I think they must all have a YouTube channel, and they just like post the same things.
But I've gotten to the point where, the little British kids never solve your problem. Like,
no.
Okay, I'm going to show you how I stream.
And then he just clicks, like, he talks for 15 minutes about how popular he is on Twitch or YouTube streaming. And then the last thing is him going, okay, and this is how you stream. And he clicks the button that says stream. He's like, and now we're online.
Yeah. Here's a message for every motherfucker on the internet making a how-to video. Fucking cut the goddamn preamble. I do not give a shit about your life, why you're on YouTube, how popular you are, what happened that day, or what you had for breakfast. Get to the fucking thing that's in the title of the goddamn video.
And you know who does that the best? Plumbing videos.
Plumbing videos?
Well, when I was working as like the head custodian over at Van Gorder for 2 months, thanklessly, right. A bunch of toilets broke, and I had no idea how to repair them, so I just look it up on Google. And I type in how to repair this model toilet. Immediately you get a video and it'd just be this guy like, shitter's broken, so here's how you fix it. And he'd walk you through step by step and be like, and that's how it's done.
Yeah. And car videos are like that too. They're like, hey, you want to change this out? Do this, and this, and you're done. He's like, have a great day, click, and that's it. But
computer
anything,
videos, it's like, here's another public service announcement. If you go online and ask on a forum a question that's like, hey, I'm getting this error message. How do I fix it? And then the next post is you saying, oh, I fixed it. Thanks a lot, guys. With no information about how you did it, I'm going to hunt you down and kill you.
Fuck you. Or if you're the person who comes along after them and is like, yeah, I've got the same problem. Why say that? You're not helping! So Andy, send me a text message real quick, and you'll see what it took me an hour of searching YouTube videos to finally achieve. And I this has been on the back.
Message. It's a picture of my wiener.
Oh no! You just keep those on your phone?
Well, who doesn't?
So it took me an hour to do this.
Picture of my wiener.
Oh, you didn't really hear it.
I didn't hear it at all. What did it say?
It's you going, doo-loo,
doo-loo.
It's that old text alert message. Or that
AIM.
Oh, shit. No, it's the one that you actually recorded.
Well, yeah. That's when I was making fun of AIM.
Doo-loo.
Come on, just play it.
Maybe your phone sucks.
Fucking A. All
David's
right.
phone sucks, everybody. Laugh at David.
I'm sure Krista has the text alert sound over there that she could play if she wanted to, but
I don't have that.
I'm sure you do.
What's it supposed to be called?
Text alert.
text alert.
Nope. Nope. We don't have it.
Not here.
God damn it. Well,
calm down.
I'll fucking figure it out some way. Well, just know that whenever you text me, it's Andy going, doo-loo. Oh, shit. All right, Andy, why don't we just keep it rolling, see what you got for us in this edition of Creepin' on Craigslist.
I have looked upon the dark corners of the internet. I have seen satanic rituals, bees in jars, and adult infants. I pushed through this jungle and beheld bathtubs of noodles and desecrated train tracks. Still, I moved on, not knowing what horrors I would uncover. The darkest heart of the Congo and the Amazon were paradise compared to this. I'm still here. It won't let me leave. But perhaps the tales I uncover will keep you from making the same mistake. This is Creeping on Craigslist.
Boom. Andy, what do you
man,
got
this
for
gets
us?
Better the further down I drill into this ad.
Yeah, wait.
Well, I normally wouldn't make fun of this sort of person, but this is so fucking San Francisco Bay Area that we're just going into it. $860 / 140-foot square room in queer trans community house.
So are there... Now, I'm not necessarily up on all my PC culture, but are there communities for that kind of thing out there?
I assume. I mean, it's a big community.
So you can find like a 55 and plus community, a trans community, and so far that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Where is the white man's community?
Everywhere.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Walk outside and smile, David. You're there. Welcome. Long-term opening for July 1st. No pets, sorry. One small dog already here, plus zero cats due to allergies.
Uh-huh.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, pretty reasonable.
The basics. $860 a month, plus shared utilities and internet.
What? For one room?
For one 11 by 14 room. I can't even fit two of me in there.
11 Laying by down. 14? Well, I don't imagine you'd be entertaining people where you're just lying on the floor trying to like spread out.
How am I supposed
carpet?
To run my cuddle party business?
Oh yeah, your cuddle puddle party.
Yeah, my puddle party. 11x14 room with a closet and optionally furnished queen bed, table, chair, and rug. An 11x14 room with a queen bed is a room that you walk into and then there's just a bed, David.
I can't
just lay down.
I can't. I wonder how big our master bedroom is.
It's like 20 something by.
Fuck yeah. We don't go less than 20 by something else around here.
18.
It could be 20 by 3, 20 by 4. As long as one of those numbers is 20.
Yeah. 20 foot ceilings.
Yeah. 20 foot ceilings, 20 foot wide, 20 foot toilet.
20. Oh, God.
It can accommodate a lot of people.
Oh, you're not saying it's 20 foot tall. It's 20.
No, it's
foot
long. The bowl is 20 feet long, so you can sit on it and it's like when you get into Log Flume at Disneyland.
Okay.
It's just the turds shoot down the bowl.
I thought maybe it was one of those horrible troughs like you get at a truck stop.
No, there's still like a toilet seat, but it's really heavy, 20 feet long, and you have to like get a stick and push it all the way up. It's like opening it's like opening a giant dumpster.
Yeah. A medium-sized queer trans community house with a nice kitchen.
Nice.
Four bedrooms plus a rustic summer guest space.
What
I think that's called
fuck
a tent outside.
I thought that was like a porch.
The summer guest space? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like an Arizona room.
We take all applications seriously and appreciate your time. Deposit is $860.
So, yeah. First, I thought they would take first and last, but if they just went last...
To put you into a headspace of how much this costs, $860 a month. Currently, Larson, Angela, and Adam's girlfriend all live together, and they only have, it's $1,000 a month for all three of them to live in one place.
Pause. He lives there too? No?
Not, who? Not Adam.
Okay.
Adam's girlfriend.
You don't have to say pause. You can just ask the question.
Pause.
Pause. Question.
If you like the house plus, can't afford the monthly cost, but the deposit is a struggle, we can negotiate. They seem like nice people.
Yeah, not a lot of... Well, because, it's one of those... I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I feel like the most easygoing community is, like, the gay community.
Yeah. We're about to get into a lot of...
Maybe I should take that back.
A lot of qualifiers.
Uh-huh.
Commitment! We are seeking long-term members with the option of joining an annual lease in September and a minimum of commitment of 3 months.
That's
not very long-term.
No, I mean like that. You could every apartment complex offers you a year at a time, so that's fine.
We are invested in finding a right fit for all of us. Winky smiley face.
Like butt stuff.
Yeah. Like butt stuff. It says that in little parentheses.
I knew it.
This ad is a high filter strategy. We share more info and get fewer applicants than a simple room listing. But the applicants tend to be better fits.
Right, because you're laying out all the fucking prerequisites, obviously.
Well, and they lay out a lot about themselves down here. David, I wish I could label myself so perfectly.
Well, I think what we are we're just cisgender white males.
I don't even want the cisgender label. Just call me a dude.
Can't. You gotta have more specific, Andy.
I don't need more labels. I'm not. I'm organically grown.
What? I also doubt that. I want to see some sort of a certification showing that you've never been exposed to pesticides or chemical fertilizers.
He's got me there. In other words, if you like the house ad, you are encouraged to reply. You're encouraged to reply to believe in yourself and apply. They're not very good at writing.
Hey, believe
thanks
in yourself.
Thanks for your time.
Well,
welcome,
real quick.
Welcoming diverse identities, fighting oppression. This is the next headline.
Real quick, I wanted to get this out. Because I, until now, did not know what cisgender meant. I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, what? So, cisgender is denoting or relating to a person whose sense of personal identity and gender corresponds with their birth sex. So yeah, we are cisgender white male.
And people use that as an insult, and I don't,
because I think they probably think that the cis is S-I-S as in sissy.
Well, no, like it's they know what it means, but they're like, you cisgendered white toast bitch. And I'm like, oh.
Hey man, that imposes judgment, which we can't do in this day and age, I tell them.
I said, I accept you.
Yeah, hey.
Anyway, the next headline, welcoming diverse identities, fighting oppression.
Whoa.
Except that the next paragraph has nothing to do
with
that.
A broadsword.
Access info. House is up two stair steps, no ramp. Otherwise on a single level, except for laundry, which is down two stair steps.
So no handicap people?
I guess.
Nobody in wheelchairs.
Probably can't say handicap.
We are a low to no scent / toxic chemical environment.
What the fuck does that mean?
No smells, no toxic chem. So we don't clean.
Great.
You can't use perfume.
How do they keep no smells if they aren't cleaning?
Well, it's a very natural smell.
Gross.
Nature's perfume.
Ugh.
Neighborhood / lot is pretty quiet. People noise in house is low to moderate.
Okay.
Extra. Encouraged to apply. and these are the people who are encouraged to apply.
Right.
Fat, black, intersex, trans, QTPOC, non-binary, femme,
disabled. Whoa. Back up that thing. QTPOC?
I believe that's a queer trans person of color.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Queer trans people of color. Oh, I'll be damned.
Femme, disabled, displacement.
Disabled, but they're stairs.
They
mean mentally?
Yeah. Maybe. Well, autistic, neurodivergent, and or working class folks.
Autistic? But fly whatever flag you want, but I don't know if I would want someone with a legitimate mental condition.
I don't know, David.
Oh, boy.
But this is the day and age on the internet where all the people on Tumblr are saying, I am autistic. Well, are you sure? Well, I diagnosed myself online.
Yeah, I remember a time when if someone was mean to you, you just ignored them. You didn't have to force them into some sort of nomenclature so you felt better about what they were saying.
It's like, why am I so terribly awkward? Well, you probably have anxiety or depression. No, I'm autistic.
Sure, yeah. Everybody's a little autistic because we're all on the spectrum somewhere. But why not? Hey, if people say things that hurt your feelings, maybe don't listen to them. I don't know. Like, I'm all for, like, equal treatment, but maybe don't be so uptight about everything. Anyway.
Okay. This house was founded by a trans activist in their healing process 2.5 years ago.
Founded? I don't know what that
means. Who wanted to end misgendering at home and have a place to heal. There's a lot of commas. As suggested by our current membership, today our house is a transgender, non-binary, queer, genderqueer, body-positive, disability justice community striving for racial and economic inclusion with equity, generally supporting better life for kick-ass people making life better.
Okay, what is the difference between queer and genderqueer?
I don't know.
I really would like, I understand that we probably sound like two old fucks who are like, oh, N-words are moving into the neighborhood.
Well, no, I'm fine with all of the, I just think that you're really putting yourself in a, like, if you're really pigeonholing yourself here.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to love each other no matter what shape, like, why all the labels if we're not supposed to be labeling one another?
Right.
Is there something I'm missing?
I bet we do
missing?
Sound real old right now.
I'm sure we do. Because, like, I get, like, people...
Oh, here you go, David. We use a lot of politicized language. It's cool if you don't know every word here. We all learn together.
Thank God.
Terms used are web searchable. Follow-up questions welcome. Basically, center folks on the margins. And thanks for your time.
Okay, number one, what isn't web searchable, jackass? You don't need to tell me that. Fucking idiot.
Got privilege? White, cis, queer, thin, able-bodied, wealthy, and or access to lucrative employment folks can apply with the understanding that you bring analysis on how you address your privilege in the context of community and liberation work.
I don't think I could live around people where I constantly had to state my white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Holy. Like, we're just act like people to one another, goddammit. Why would I have to be like, as a, white privileged cisgendered white male, I say that blah, 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 blah. And then I get shouted down at the house meeting.
yeah. Privileged, The house has all genders, but few cis men have survived. Bwahahaha.
Survived? Do they kill them?
They might. Yep. he's buried in our rustic summer outing space.
That's really rough. And side note, if you search gender queer in Google, a delightful rainbow shoots down the left side of your screen.
Really?
That's fun.
Yeah.
Aww.
I like that. See, that's Google being inclusive.
Sure, yeah.
About us individually. R.
So, uh-huh.
30, loving, non-binary trans person. They, them pronouns.
Oh, man, if you have enough time in the day to constantly research and, address everyone you ever meet as the correct pronoun, fuck you. I've got a real job and a real life and hobbies and interests, and I can't spend my whole life going over gender political terms.
I mean, I don't have any friends that did, but if I had friends that wanted to be called by a different pronoun, sure, I'd...
Yeah, they say, hey, could you call me this? You say, yeah, okay, sure. That's it. Get the fuck over yourself.
This is still the same person. Disabled badass fat ass creating an access revolution.
A disabled badass fat ass.
Creating an access revolution. Extrovert omnivore.
So is he disabled because he's fat?
That's, well, yeah. I think what we're all missing, and I think we all can agree on this, not just us three, but everyone listening, we need more labels.
More. I need to have a shirt that has all my labels.
If I don't, okay, why can't, I keep in mind, I'm speaking from white privilege and cisgender and all that other shit. I don't understand why it is so important to, why the labels? Can't
tribalism.
We just be people? Yeah, well, that's the thing. By doing this, they're really setting up an exclusive club.
Well,
so hey man, we're all people, but if you call me the wrong fucking gender pronoun, oh, you piece of shit.
You privileged?
Yeah, sure. I got white privilege. There's nothing I can do about it. Sorry.
Let's see. Where was I? Extrovert omnivore. So they both. Runs body inclusive sex gear store.
Oh, boy.
Sex stuff for bigger people, I assume.
Yeah, it's
the
like
big
the
big and tall sex shop.
You know how when you go to the mall and they have Torrid, it's like Hot Topic for fat chicks.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is like Hot Topic for fat
dicks.
Perverts, dicks for deviants. And you can't even. Well, whatever.
And of course, you have to say this: 3 years in the Bay Area from the Michigan slash UK. I'm from England. I'm from Michigan, England. In this house for 1 year, but I've noticed it's people who live in like Portland or Seattle or the Bay Area are always like, I've lived here for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Austin does this a lot too.
People do that in Arizona too. Austin. Like no one in Arizona who living in Arizona is from Arizona. They're all from Michigan or fucking Boston, Mass.
East Coast, baby.
Or Illinois or Connecticut. No one here is from here. I feel like they're taking my jobs as an Arizonan.
Whatever.
Okay, next person. T, 28, nine, non-binary, trans, she, her, they, them, white.
They?
Healing activist in process of designing next steps.
Why do they call themselves they
them.
When they only have one person? Like, they're just one person.
Here's my question. What does vacillating between the genders do for you functionally on a day-to-day basis? Why?
You have to ask somebody more knowledgeable, David.
It seems like, you know how when, and I talked about this on the Facebook, but you know how when parents name their kids something fucking stupid and unpronounceable?
Yeah.
So they're constantly having to correct everyone they meet for the rest of their fucking lives?
Yeah.
With this gender fluid thing, you're bringing that upon your fucking self. Like if someone was, I was like, hey man, how's it going? Like, actually today I'm a her. I'd be like, hey, today I don't give a fuck. How about that?
And I don't mean man as in how you're a man. I say man to everybody. Oh, that's impressive, David.
Oh, man. I hate when people say hey man to me because that is a real indicator that they're assuming my gender identity.
Let's see here.
You and your
white lived
privilege.
In East Bay for 3 years. Oh.
No use of slang.
That's a sentence. Mindfulness.
Mindfulness.
Plays acoustic
Be aware.
Guitar.
Of course he does. She does. They do.
They.
Does. Of course they do.
Likes being an extrovert and taking alone time to recover.
Could I, now, after all this gender shit blows over, could I vacillate between extrovert and introvert and have to correct people on a day-to-day basis? Would that be within my right as a human?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, if someone came up to me and like, hey, you're outspoken, how do you feel about this? And I'm like, ahem, excuse me, today I identify as an introvert, so I will be curled up in the fetal position in that corner.
I'm looking up neurodivergent.
Neurodivergent?
Not neurotypical means having the type of neurocognitive function that falls within dominant the dominant societal standards of normal.
So not stupid.
So you're just normal.
Well, no, neurodivergent is the opposite of that. So they're not normal.
So neurodivergent is the new retarded?
That's why they need to be referred to as they, because they have multiple personality disorders.
Anyway,
fuck that.
Likes being part-time vegan, most of the time conscious.
Part-time vegan? That just means you eat... Oh, fuck you, you piece of shit. That means I'm a part-time carnivore.
Yeah.
And part-time herbivore, part-time omnivore. Please don't make an assessment of me without talking to me first.
Enjoys caring for the house and building a community together. In the house for 2 years. Ooh. She's better than the first one.
Mm-hmm. Or at least longer lasting.
Him, her, new to the house, 28. A lovely trans brown Latinx neurodivergent educator who enjoys cooking, staying involved in disability and racial justice, and watching Bob's Burgers.
So they're all autistic.
Well, this is the first person who actually gave me an interest watching Bob's Burgers that I can actually understand.
That's why they're autistic friendly, because some of them have autism. Maybe that's what neurodivergent is supposed to mean.
What? People, okay.
David's gonna have a heart attack.
Killing David.
What the fuck is going on here, guys? Like, what the fuck?
Remember David, when, more labels. Label yourself more right now.
Well, do you remember when, medical terms were used specifically in medical situations? Like, retarded isn't necessarily a slam, because you can advance something and you can retard something. It's just a placement on a scale.
Right.
So it's saying it is here on this scale from A to B. Neurodivergent means you could be anywhere, which tells you fucking nothing.
Well, David, I'm positive that all these people are self-diagnosed.
Yeah, because these aren't diagnoses. They're terms that fucking assholes think of because they don't have a fucking real job to go to.
Well, none of these people have listed a job other than the first guy who sells
the big and large sex toys.
Seashells by the seashore.
L in the guest house. They, them, non-binary, queer, neurodivergent, weirdo, artist, femme.
Ugh, no, thank you.
That's just a bunch of words together that don't make a real sentence. Lived in the Bay Area 20 years on and off. So
I don't like the they, them thing. You can't... Why would I have to say, like, Andy, if I were to say, what are you doing? I shouldn't have to say, what are you guys doing when I'm talking to you, right?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
access assistant, if that's a job, cares about social justice, disability justice, mostly introvert, in the house since February. So that's the one that's been there the person before has been there the least. So I assume they have some sort of kind of tribe thing going on where the oldest gets to hold the conch and speak at the meetings.
So, but here's my thing. So everybody wants to be referred to as their own specific either gender or whatever pronouns. And they're like, hey man, it's easy to find out which one that people want to be referred to as, just ask. I shouldn't have to fucking ask you every fucking day whether you decide to be a man or a woman that day. If like our friendship is really dependent upon how I refer to you on a daily basis, guess who's not going to be your friend? I do not have fucking time for that shit.
Can I just call you a fucking Steve?
And here's the thing, I'm not trying to bash gender politics either. It's just people who get so into one thing, they become insufferable. Like, let's say a fat person gets into running, and now all they talk about is fitness. Boring, gone. Let's say you suddenly discover a wild love of...
Cilantro.
cilantro, and everything you talk about refers to the use and implementation of cilantro. Guess who is not going to have very many friends except for cilantro-based friendships? You!
Okay, but that's why I don't even like, oh, do you play games? You're a gamer? Like, not really.
Not really, no. I don't like being pinned down to one thing either, but I don't like when someone's like, oh, you enjoy games, you're a gamer. I don't say, excuse me, I identify as a multicultural, multi-interest being of non-organic light.
With white privilege.
Fuck you. Yeah. Here I am with my white privilege. How about we just treat each other with respect? And that's the end of it.
Let's see. Drug/alcohol. Marijuana, okay.
Shocker.
Most of us don't really drink or smoke. We offer beer at our rare parties, but most people have something without alcohol. No smoking in size. Marijuana negotiable. So, it's okay, but not okay.
If it's a puff-puff pass situation, sure, we'll allow that in the common area. But if you're bogarting that sweet sticky weed, you're going out to the porch, brother.
David, people who take your beer and weed without ever bringing over beer and weed are not your friends.
True, but I assume that if you're doing like a puff-puff pass situation in the beanbag chair collection in the main room, that's probably just a concrete floor.
Man, I kind of want a beanbag chair collection in my main room. Except I get those cool love sacks and we'd all just flop around, you know, you'd forget that you put your keys on there, flop up, and it'd bounce up and hit you in the face.
That's the thing. When you're an adult, you have to step up to like structural furniture.
Yeah.
So maybe have one in the bedroom as for like, you know, exotic fuck type situations. But, you know, come on.
We should get one. We have a big bedroom.
But what? So what do? We spent $600 on a bag full of memory foam. And then what? Fuck.
And then you fuck on it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
House meetings, cooperation. This is where I would start going insane. Weekly meetings. I see you every day.
Weekly? About what?
I don't know.
What could you possibly talk about every week?
No shared food system for now. Open to one. Don't touch my food.
No shared food. So
you buy your own groceries.
Fucking ball sack, man.
We are friends, live our own lives, and make decisions by consensus. We have mindful, brief meetings once a week.
Brief my ass. My fucking ass, they're brief. After they're done going over which gender pronouns they're supposed to be referring to each other, 20 minutes has gone by, man. Give me a fucking break.
I am going to skip the part about transit in the neighborhood because that's not interesting.
Can I, really quickly, does anyone have a guess as to how much a love sack memory foam beanbag chair costs?
$400? $200?
Between $350 and $1,375.
I had one for a while, but it takes up too much fucking room in a house this size.
No shit. Plus, you're not a fucking idiot.
But David, they're so comfy.
Sure. Fine. But it's not something you can sit in and have a conversation with someone.
No.
Or like for a love sack, you're sleeping in it and or sitting in it playing video games in a small room in front of a computer.
How do you fuck in one too? Like, I feel like that's
you just sort of lose yourself in it and you become entangled and you're fighting to get out and all the commotion makes you jizz eventually.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
All the friction.
Like, yeah, if two people hop in naked and sink to the bottom, as you're scrambling to get out, someone will eventually come.
Okay, I'm going to start skipping stuff, but I will do social life. You are welcome to have folks over, host your own things, have dates, etc. You don't get to tell me where I can have dates.
Right.
We like to throw open mics or other gatherings a few times a year.
Fuck that. That means that it's going to be a 100% awful poetry slam about gender politics.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
We can skip this long section about transit. Like, but I do like the phrase "Bart is not hipster close."
Bart.
Well, yeah, it's the subway system for Oakland and San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
But hipster Bart? Close is apparently like. They say it's 1.2 miles away, which is like a 15-minute walk. Apparently, hipsters can't walk 15 minutes.
So what would qualify as hipster close?
I've been doing nothing but
Googling this whole time. So let me look up really quick. Hipster close. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's good radio.
Hipster clothing. There's no such thing as hipster close. Okay, continue.
Okay, David. And here's some required questions that you have to answer when you put in your application.
Okay, I'll answer them right now for you.
Okay, what is your name and contact info? Phone number is helpful for follow-up. You don't have to give your phone number.
The people call me D-Dog or the L-Master, and I'll slip you a card with my phone number on it.
This room is for move-in anytime between June 15th and July 1st. What's your preferred move-in date?
Probably July 1st.
Oh, okay.
Seeing as how that's today.
Yeah. What's your life like in the Bay Area? How do you work, comma, play?
I have a job and then do things that other people don't find disgusting. Okay, next.
Ooh, I like this one. This is a fat positive house. In rejections of false frames of health and in support of autonomy, what is your commitment to supporting a shame-free environment for people of all sizes? I love the quotes around health.
Listen, hey, you know, doctors don't necessarily know what's healthy for people. Fat, you know, they may tell you, oh, I got high blood pressure, hypertension, and my cholesterol's too high. You don't know me, man. You're just a doctor. Don't impose your medical diagnoses on me, because they've got no fucking... And plus, I used to fuck a ton of fat chicks, so we're okay there. No fat dudes.
No fat Gross. Dudes. Oh, David, you're out.
Oh, damn it.
Number five, preach to us about your vision for the anti-oppressive, trans-inclusive society where Black Lives Matter, or
okay.
Talk to us how you can relate to those themes in your day-to-day life and want them to manifest in your house. This is an essay.
Here's my answer. Are you a human being is my first question to you. If so, I will treat you with the same respect I afford every other fucking human being on this goddamn piece of shit planet. Fuck.
And the last question. Are you down to use natural, relatively chemical-free and low-scent items? Eco stuff. We clean counters with baking soda and vinegar, etc.
That has a wildly unpopular smell.
Smells.
Like, number one, I'm not going to switch from Right Guard to Swedish underarm crystals. Number one. Number two, I love me some body wash. That is not going away.
Oh God,
I'm not gonna rub myself down with a bar of goat fat as rendered from milk and then mixed with chamomile, okay?
Now we will end with a poem.
You've gotta be fucking kidding me. This is a big hit in every open mic. Oh, fuck.
I couldn't have asked for a better end to this ad.
Unbelievable.
Let us join to make a place of many a gender, sexuality, and race. Mm-hmm. For come home from tough day confessions and a home base in the battle against oppression.
Oh,
a peaceful place to cultivate that flower where dirty dishes neither linger nor tower. Fight the power. Home is where the heart and art is, but also the fart. And where fix the wheel on your metaphysical card is. Friends, ends, beginnings.
Alright. Now, here's my question. In the Bay Area, how much oppression do you think they are receiving on a day-to-day basis in the most trans-friendly, queer-friendly, queer-fluid, whatever, in like the most accommodating portion of America? How much oppression do you think they are coming up against on a daily basis?
Oh, I don't know, but I need more of these poems.
Let's say you're running a trans flop house, whatever you want to call this, in, like, let's say a really racist state like Missouri, Texas. Mississippi, Texas, then yeah, fight the fucking power. But you can't move into the most inclusive, sexually diverse place in America and be like, yeah, now it's time to strike out for the little guy. You're in the fucking majority there.
Yeah. Although, like, it's true if you drive 3 hours from any large city, there is going to be the oppression.
Sure, but do you think that these new age social justice hippie warriors are taking the time to go to these underserved communities and spread the word about how annoying their lifestyle is?
Yes.
No, you liar.
Yeah, yes. David, so two of these people are extroverts, so they could be taking that goddamn guitar out every weekend to, I don't know, what's close by? Just Oakland. They're going in the heart of Oakland.
I guarantee, number one, I bet none of them own cars, and if they do, they're probably hybrids, and they're probably working with a lot of bicycles.
You ain't really got to have a car in the Bay Area, though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They probably don't own cars, so they're not making the three-hour drive to other places to preach. They're preaching to people who, like, if I was like, hey, Andy, have you heard the good news about video games? I'm preaching to the fucking choir here, guys! God damn it. Like, you wouldn't go into, like, a goddamn church and be like, hey, guys, have you heard about this Jesus character? Yeah, of course. You're in our fucking holy whatever.
Have you heard about this God?
Like, don't go to San Francisco and be like, hey, guys, I'm gay and I'm proud. So if you don't like it, then up yours. And everyone's like, yeah, of course. Everybody here, like, we all get it. Like, you're in.
I've got a more traditional Craigslist to calm David down. I knew he'd get mad.
Okay.
Old man willing to throw an egg. Weymouth, M.A.
Willing to throw an egg.
Looking for a handsome old man, preferably a war vet, nothing sexual, to throw a raw egg vengefully at a given target. One-time deal. Of course, nothing sexual.
That
ages 50 to 100 preferable. White hair, maybe a cane.
I would love to find someone so weak that they throw the egg and it lands at their feet.
Bad back preferable. Maybe funny old-timey name? Nothing sexual. Willing to pay. Nothing sexual. Willing to pay $40 if you get the job done right.
Nothing sexual. So,
cash!
I imagine the last sentence of this ad is, please insert the egg into your asshole and shoot it out as hard as you can at the aforementioned target. Nothing sexual.
Well, no, the last sentence was we'll give you $40.
So, they want to pay an old guy $40 to huck an egg at somebody?
Yeah.
And
it's probably
back.
Sexual.
I suppose. I mean, because if an old guy throws an egg at you on the street, you're not going to like turn around and smash his face into the side of a building. You're going to be like, hey, old guy. And maybe
did you drop
this
egg?
Bit. Yeah, you're not going to go up to like an 80-year-old and be like, now it's time to kick some ass. Like if I threw an egg at someone, good chance someone's going to come after me. Mm-hmm. Guy with a cane does it. His hands are clean.
If David started throwing eggs, there would be no end to the beatings.
Oh, yeah. I would have to devise some sort of Gatling gun-type egg-launching system so that I can pelt them with enough eggs so I can safely get away.
Yeah, of course. Nothing sexual.
Nothing sexual. Why keep saying that, by the way, also? Say it once. It's not like you're having a conversation and someone's going to forget that you said that. It's in print, jackass.
David, we've had so many ads where, like, this is not a sex thing. Just to remind you.
But if it leads to that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They always say it non-sexual, but if my dick happens to fall out and your mouth lands upon it, cool. Like,
yeah,
maybe just say it once at the end. Be like, hey, man, want you to chuck an egg at someone. Nothing sexual, $40.
There's nothing sexual. Nothing. And I already read this wedding photographer thing, right?
I don't remember.
Well, then you're in for a treat next week.
Okay. Oh boy, yeah, that got my blood boiling. I understand that everybody wants to be their own thing, but fucking pull your heads out of your asses about it, please.
Just do your thing. And
yeah, I am willing to treat anyone with any amount of respect they deserve. If you're not a dickhead, you're getting the same amount of respect from me, no matter who you are. But I am. Why the labels? Why the fucking labels?
Because, David, I need to look like... If I wear a shirt with all my labels, I need to look like the warning on a cigarette package from Australia.
This is the paragraph of fucking shit. This just goes to show you how great we as human beings have it. Because if one person back in, let's say, the medieval times was like, I actually identify as so-and-so, you'd be burned at the stake.
Yeah.
You're a witch.
Things have gotten so good for humanity, we can now nitpick each other over semantics. So God bless America. You know, whatever.
Seriously, David, we have it so good as a society that today my biggest problem was I they started selling weed recreationally. I drove up to one of the stores and was like, ooh, long line.
First
I just
problem.
Won't go.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if your life is so good that the biggest concern that you have is what you are referred to, congratulations! You're in the top 1% of humanity of all fucking time.
But seriously,
holy
David, the one store I drove by had nothing but aging hippies on it.
Totally.
And then there was one closer to the college campus that was nothing but hipsters.
Well, yeah. I imagine when and if weed becomes legal in Arizona... And I don't see it happening for maybe another 5 years because of how Byzantine and archaic how elderly our people are. But that's the thing. When you open up this, I can't imagine what the lines would be like.
Oh, David, like I was telling you before the show, the hippie one, they opened up a store right next to them that didn't have anything in it, like an empty storefront, and just put a whole bunch of chairs in there. And I peeked my head in, and all these elderly hippies turned their heads to look at me.
That's so crazy. Yeah. I don't think I'll ever be surprised by the demographic of a weed store. Because it's like aging old burnouts and like new kids who are like, yeah, man, sticking it to the man. Because like, honestly, who gives a fuck? Really?
Everybody. I give a fuck.
No, I mean, I give a fuck. But like, once it's legal, so be it. Like people, that's the thing. People would rather you go down to a liquor store where they also sell like booze and smokes and all the stuff that would legitimately kill you, where people are constantly getting held up and stabbed for what they are buying, instead of like weed. And the culture around weed isn't, I wouldn't say it's great. Violent. I wouldn't say it's aggressive. I wouldn't say it's even like mildly annoying. It's so low effort and low impact. Like you'll never come across someone and like, oh, fuck you, buddy. Like, oh, I got bet that guy's a real weed head.
Ugh, one of them pot boys. He's playing the piano all wonky.
Oh, he's so aggressive. He's on so much weed right now. I bet he's probably going to go nuts and kill someone or jump out a window.
Yeah. Reefer madness.
Yeah. Because if you were walking through a crowd, I guarantee you can pick out who is drunk. Like, let's say 4th of July weekend coming up as of this recording, probably past now. But if you go to anywhere and you're celebrating 4th of July, take a second. You can recognize every drunk motherfucker in the crowd. I bet you $100 you could not pick out a single stoned person unless you look in their eyes, obviously. But like by their behavior, you wouldn't be like, oh, that guy's high. Better stay away. He could get violent. Like, yeah. It'll be like a guy laying on a blanket under a tree. Give me a fucking break. Anyway, guys, how about
we
this?
We ran long.
Let's start. Well, long is 2 hours. I'd say this is pretty average. Guys, let's start wrapping up the show. And you know how we like to do it. A hearty, healthy, organic round of cisgender white male staff recommendations.
Nerd.
What about me?
Also cisgender white female. Christ.
Damn right.
Not inclusive. Not allowed in my house.
cisgender human staff recommend Jay. Oh, fuck.
Recommend Jays.
Andy, what do you got for a recommend Jay?
I didn't finish this week. go ahead. I'll go ahead and recommend. I got another game on Steam. It's called Thumper.
Thumper.
And it's a psychedelic rhythm game.
Okay.
It's hard as balls.
Is it like I don't want to say Dance Dance Revolution, but like a Guitar Hero type of rhythm
Amplitude.
Game?
Did you ever play Amplitude?
Never.
Kind of like that.
That really paints a picture for me.
And to use a controller.
It is just like Amplitude.
You do use a controller.
Okay.
All right. Did I recommend Mother Russia Bleeds already?
Yes.
Okay. What was the other game I just got? Bug. Krista just bought everybody Move or Die?
Yeah.
Haven't played it yet.
Oh, that's a fun... It's like a party game? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
I don't have it, but I've seen people play it.
I haven't fired it up yet because I think Chris is still waiting out to give a couple more. She bought a party pack. A tentative recommendation for Move or Die.
I played it. It's kind of cool.
You got to keep moving or you die.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And there's like different scenarios, like blocks are falling or you have to pass a bomb or you die or things like that.
I feel like that's something that has died too, like party games. Like remember on the original Xbox? Oh, fuck. What was it? It was called like Fusion Frenzy. Yeah, Fusion Frenzy. All those games that have like little mini games you play locally are like going the way of the dodo because everybody's, you know, far away from each other. So yeah. I guess, yeah, move or Die, we've got, what was that game? Thumper?
Mm-hmm. Thumper.
Every time you say Thumper, I think of the Twisted Metal character of the black guy who drove the pink El Camino.
You don't think of the rabbit? Or, the cute rabbit?
I think
band.
Of the rabbit.
No, never think of the rabbit. I always think of the pink, and it must have been like an Impala, not an El Camino. Pink El Camino. God damn it, I said it again. Twisted Metal 2. Yeah, yes. Pick up Twisted Metal 2. You'll know what I'm talking about. Guys, want to get in contact with us? I know you don't, but just in case, FistfulPodcast@gmail.com, DaveatFistfulPodcast.com. The site is about to expire again, and I'm in that moral no man's land where I'm like, should I keep it going? Should I buy it again? We'll see.
This podcast might end suddenly, and you'll never know.
Well, because every year, and it always happens on my birthday for whatever reason, July 30th comes around and says, hey, do you want to keep this going? And I was like, oh, it's not really a treat for me. It's not a present for myself, but we'll see what happens. I probably will have to keep going because I've got quite a few paleontologist interviews coming up. Andy, you remember the, I don't know if you remember, but you've seen that new dinosaur they named after Zool from Ghostbusters?
I've seen a picture, yes.
That woman will be on this show in the coming weeks, so.
I have to go to the Discovery Museum here because they have that largest T-Rex skeleton on display.
Stan?
Sue.
Sue. Oh, well, Sue's the most complete. I don't think she's the largest.
Oh. Maybe Stan's she's the largest, most complete.
Yeah, she was 94% complete, which is unheard of in the fossil world.
Yeah, I saw a billboard for that the other day. I was like, oh, yeah.
I would love to go see Sue. Is it a cast or is it the actual fossils? Because I don't think she leaves.
I'm not clear on that.
I bet it's a cast because I don't think Sue leaves the Chicago Field Museum.
Oh, also, I'm going to recommend Slime Rancher because I got skipped. So Slime Rancher I got on Steam. It's kind of like a...
Ranch of slime?
Yeah. You go around and you collect slime and you can have a farm and stuff, but like if you put a couple slimes together, then things happen and they grow into this big metallic-y monster and it kills all your people. So I haven't really figured out the game. It's still in early access and it's frustrating.
Still in early access? I remember watching videos of that a year ago.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Slime Rancher.
I imagine it's kind of like your other favorite game, Stardew Valley.
Kind of.
Except it's first person.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Anywho, so about Sue the Tyrannosaurus. I'm thinking about following her on Twitter.
David.
Should I?
And that was our show.
So, guys, you know how to get in contact with us on all the places, Facebook. So, until next week, I am a drink voucher.
I'm Krista.
I am a part-time vegan.
Saying, remember, kids, Sue or Stan, you can't go wrong with either of those great, great fossils. We'll see you next week.
So long, suckers!
Or they try to.
Fistful of Podcasts Radio.